This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.
Now we have 158 organizations that have signed on to a letter to her, again asking TNC to help us solve this problem of protecting forests from industrial logging and wood production in the U.S.
With around $1 billion in annual revenue, the Nature Conservancy is the largest organization of its kind in America. Their stated mission is to conserve the lands and waters on which all life depends. And they boldly claim to have done more than anyone else to advance conservation around the world. And yet, this large, powerful group is under fire from a set of progressive, grassroots environmental justice advocates. This week on Sea Change Radio, we welcome the Reverend Leo Woodbury and Dana Smith to the show. Woodbury is pastor of Kingdom Living Temple in Florence, South Carolina, and the executive director of the nonprofit New Alpha Community Development Corporation. And Smith is the executive director of the Dogwood Alliance. They explain why they're critical of the Nature Conservancy's stance on carbon offsets, wood pellet usage, and its dubious alliance with the wood products industry. I'm joined now on Sea Change Radio by Dana Smith and Leo Woodbury. Dana is the executive director of the Dogwood Alliance, and the Reverend Leo Woodbury is the executive director of the New Alpha Community Development Corporation. Reverend, Dana, welcome back to Sea Change Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yes, Reverend Woodbury, we had you on in 2018 to talk about the People's Climate March, which you coordinated with the Dogwood Alliance. Dana, why don't you tell us about your organization's mission and what you're currently focusing on?
Sure. So Dogwood Alliance is based in the southern U.S., and our mission is focused on advancing environmental justice and climate action through protecting southern forests from destructive industrial logging practices. And our big effort right now is focused on stopping the growth of the wood pellet market across the southern U.S., which has expanded like wildfire in just the last 10 years, causing a lot of damage to forests and negatively impacting environmental justice communities across the South as well.
And Leo, why don't you talk about the mission of your organization and how it intersects with Dana's work?
Sure. What we're finding is that with the increased impacts from the climate crisis, it is especially impacting forested communities, where rather than leaving our trees standing, our forests are being decimated by logging, particularly clear cutting, which is making the flooding worse and causing damage not only to nature, but also to communities that are environmental justice communities.
So, Dana, why don't you explain what the Nature Conservancy is and the work that they do and why you have concerns about some of their interests when it comes to protecting forests?
Sure. Well, the Nature Conservancy is the world's largest conservation organization. They have a budget of roughly $1 billion every year, annual budget. And while most people think of the Nature Conservancy as an organization that stands up for nature and is doing all that it can to protect nature, what we've seen is a pattern, especially gotten worse in recent years, of the Nature Conservancy aligning itself with some of the worst players in the forestry industry that are responsible for destroying massive amounts of forests every year and contributing to pollution in environmental justice communities as well. So we're concerned that, you know, this large organization that's very powerful and has a lot of resources is on side with an industry that is dirty and destructive at a time when we need to be really scaling up the protection of forests and reducing the amount of pollution in overburdened communities.
So, Leo, why don't you explain how the southeastern United States is impacted by policies that allow for logging and wood pellet consumption, and why your organization has concerns about the Nature Conservancy's stance?
Well, our concerns about the Nature Conservancy's alliance, basically, with the wood product industries is that they have signed on to policies that are actually going to expand the wood product industry and also thereby expanding logging. And with the expansion of logging, we have found whether we're in Southeast Georgia, in Virginia, in North Carolina, in South Carolina, in Alabama and Mississippi, everyone is saying that the flooding is worse as the logging is increasing. And so by them signing on, in particular, to policies that will allow Enviva and Drax and other companies that are producing wood pellets, not only are they damaging the communities by increasing the flooding, but also with every tree that they cut down, they're releasing more carbon in the air. As they drive these trees down highways, the diesel trucks are releasing more fumes in the air. And then, of course, when they go to actually produce the wood pellets, et cetera, in environmental justice communities, then we have an increased amount of NOx and SOx and carbon and other volatile organic chemicals.
Let's focus on wood pellets for a minute. A lot of people assume that wood pellets are just from reused, recycled materials and that they're a fairly sustainable and clean energy source. But that's not really the case, is it?
No, absolutely not. I mean, we've followed the logging trucks from cleared 100-year-old wetland forests back to the wood pellet mills. We've seen whole trees log for miles and miles and miles on logging trucks ending up at the wood pellet facilities. This is not waste wood that they're turning into wood pellets. And the irony of it all is that they're turning these ecosystems into wood pellets that are then being shipped across the Atlantic to be burned in power stations as an alternative to coal. And they're calling it renewable energy. And that's against a backdrop of hundreds of scientists around the world warning that burning wood in place of coal is actually worse per unit of energy generated, is going to accelerate climate change and take us in the wrong direction versus making things better. And so at the same time, you've got the Nature Conservancy, a part of a collaborative, along with the two biggest players in the wood pellet industry, companies called Drax and Enviva, in promoting a policy agenda to Congress to expand wood production and wood markets as a so-called climate solution. And meanwhile, what we're seeing with the expansion of this global market is the tearing apart of forests in the southeastern U.S. that would otherwise be providing flood control, that would otherwise be absorbing and storing carbon out of the atmosphere, and that provide important habitat for biodiversity in this region.
And what is in it for the Nature Conservancy? When you talk about their collaboration with these corporations, if they care about the environment, and one must assume that everyone who works at the Nature Conservancy loves nature, what is their motivation for getting in bed with some of these players?
You know, the most outrageous claim and benefit that they put forth is that, you know, they're actually practicing conservation because in these poor rural communities, many of which are sparsely populated, they're claiming that, you know, they're preventing, impervious surfaces from being put down in rural communities, as if communities that only have a few thousand people are going to suddenly decide that they need to build a shopping mall. And so to me, that is one of the most ridiculous assertions that they make. And I'm really curious, too, as to funding, not only from the philanthropic community, but I'm wondering, you know, in terms of some corporate funding as well, because very rarely do people come together to make consensus decisions without there being some sort of quid pro quo.
Did you want to add to that, Dana?
You know, I think what's in it for TNC is they are the most influential player. People see them as experts. And a lot of times, you know, this is kind of an old way of thinking. You know, those with the money have the expertise. And so I really think that TNC is positioning itself as a broker of some kind of, you know, kumbaya moment where forest industry wins and so does the forest. But the reality is that the forest industry is the problem when it comes to U.S. forests. It's not sprawl, it's not urbanization, it's not outright deforestation to another use. It's industrial logging that's really driving the carbon losses that are coming from forests. It's industrial logging that's degrading forests' ability to provide protection against storms like flood control. And it's the wood production and wood industry that is driving pollution in already overburdened, poor, poverty-stricken Black communities across the South. So it's time to hold this industry accountable. And I think TNC has made a lot of friends in the forest industry. And I think it's really challenging this moment in time is challenging us to really think differently. It's challenging us to let go of old ways of doing things. And I think it's very difficult for an organization the size of TNC that has spent the better part of its existence in the last several decades building these alliances with these big giant forestry companies to publicly critique them and to hold them accountable. But that's what this moment in time is all about. And that's where we have Jennifer Morris, who's the CEO, who's relatively new. She has the opportunity to set a different course for this organization than they have set in the last several decades. It's time for TNC to get on the train of helping to chart a truly green path for the future and to get off of the train of perpetuating ongoing destruction and pollution.
And you know some people are made of wood. Some people have hearts of stone. Some people are up to no good. Ah, but baby, I'm for real. I'm as real as a real can get. If what you're looking for is real loving, then what you see is what you get. Ha! What you see,
what you see
is what you get.
It's what you get.
What you see, what you see is what you get.
This is Alex Wise on SeaChange Radio. And I'm speaking to Dana Smith and the Reverend Leo Woodbury. So you mentioned that the Nature Conservancy is the largest of its ilk. What separates it from some other organizations that may espouse similar policies when it comes to logging? And is there some kind of outlier factor that we can point to that shows either a quid pro quo or something less than what may appear to be on the surface for any prospective donors to the organization, namely salaries, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, I think what separates TNC from others is their sheer size, the scope of their operations, which is in all states, all across, even down to the local level in some areas, and their influence. TNC at this point is acting more like a large corporation than a nonprofit organization. And one only needs to look at their tax returns to see the amount of salaries that their upper-level management is making.
Can you expand on that? Give us some examples if you can.
Sure. So, and the recent one that I have, I think, is from 2020. The director of conservation at TNC made almost $1.2 million. And that was for part of a year.
Wow.
The last CEO for up to July of 2020 made almost $500,000 for less than, you know, a year, almost just a half a year. You've got dozens of others within the TNC management that make over $350,000 a year. These are corporate salaries. These are not salaries of nonprofit folks who are doing mission-related work.
And that would be fine if it was a corporation, if you were buying stock in the company and had a voice as a shareholder. But they're actually a nonprofit. They get a tax-free 501c3 status from the IRS, I assume. And people who are donating, they are assuming that most of their money goes to helping the environment.
That's right. And that's one of the issues that is problematic is the concentration of, you know, power and wealth at the top.
Leo, Dana was mentioning how the Nature Conservancy has partnered with some of these corporations to lobby for Congress. Is there anything in the latest infrastructure bill that is reason for concern for listeners?
Well, one thing we know that they have lobbied and successfully been able to get funding from the federal government that's going to allow them for the wood product industry to expand. So right after the passage of the infrastructure bill, you know, we had both Drax and Enviva announced that they were going to expand by building additional biomass wood pellet plants. And now they're even moving out west and looking at how they can also get into the biofuel industry. Although they're claiming, as they always have, that they won't be using trees, that they'll be using wood waste. But we already know by tracking the trucks that has not been true in the past. And looking at their past practices, that it probably will not be true in the future. And I want to add also that with this expansion of the wood product industry, a lot of this logging that we're seeing in places like Marion County and other places, that we're seeing that they are logging in areas that are floodplains. So, you know, you look at Britain's Neck after Hurricane Florence in 2018, and you see that Piney Grove Baptist Church, where the flooding was so bad that the only thing that you could see was the steeple, the residents tell us, sticking up above the floodwaters. And then within 100 feet, just this year, you could see where there's more clear cuts. So in addition to them helping the wood product industry expand with what amounts to subsidies to the wood product industry in the infrastructure bill and other legislation, we're also seeing that the destruction, not only to our forests, but to environmental justice communities are continuing. There is just a complete and total lack of caring for nature, for our forests, and for the very people who live in these communities.
And yet, after the murder of George Floyd, a lot of organizations, including the Nature Conservancy, were strong voices for social change. Do you see some hypocrisy here, Leo?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as an African American, we are so accustomed to people shedding crocodile tears when something happens in our community. But then when the voices of community cry out for justice, as these organizations have done, 150 organizations representing 3.8 million members in the South, when our voices are lifted up and cry out, Nothing changes. They dry their crocodile tears and they go on to business as usual. So no, I didn't expect anything to come out of statements from the Nature Conservancy other than the usual rhetoric.
So it's like we hear about greenwashing, and that might be kind of the example that we're discussing with these corporations, what's in it for them in aligning with an organization like the Nature Conservancies. They can kind of greenwash their wood products, but this is also the Nature Conservancy in some ways is, I don't know, brownwashing, if you will.
Oh, we call it greenwashing.
This is greenwashing too.
Yeah, and what's particularly harmful is because here you have an organization that is claiming to care about nature, to care about forests, and to care about communities, and is claiming that their solutions are actually going to help us deal with climate change and reducing emissions that are contributing to climate change. Yet after the decades of them supporting the logging industry and the wood product industry, we know the truth of the matter is that none of their practices have proven to reduce emissions or have any positive impacts when it comes to us dealing with the climate crisis.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio, and I'm speaking to the Reverend Leo Woodbury and Dana Smith. So, Dana, so we've talked about the wood pellet issue and your qualms with an organization like the Nature Conservancy aligning with big business to perpetuate some less than clean fuels. What other concrete examples can you give listeners about the Nature Conservancy's practices that give you pause?
Yeah, so the Nature Conservancy is also a big proponent of carbon markets.
Yeah, so what does that mean, and how are they able to benefit from the confusion that often comes from carbon markets? It's the cryptocurrency of the green world, and that not everybody can really explain it to each other very clearly.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the idea, which is fatally flawed, is that if you're emitting carbon over here, but you protect a forest somewhere else, that forest is pulling carbon out of the atmosphere that you are emitting. And just from the get-go, that's just a false sort of premise. So the way the Nature Conservancy is benefiting is that they are actually selling carbon credits on land that they manage and own under conservation. And we've seen, you know, there's been a lot of critique of the approach that the Nature Conservancy is taking with its carbon credit programs. But what we do know is that carbon credits and carbon markets are another false solution to the climate crisis, because it's letting a company, for example, like BP, continue to use fossil fuels and emit carbon from fossil fuels while paying the Nature Conservancy, for example, to conserve forests that they were already planning on conserving. So nothing different happened, only BP gets to claim that they've reduced their carbon emissions and the Nature Conservancy gets the money for doing what they were going to be doing anyway on that land.
Dan, I'm glad that you mentioned that nothing changes, because what doesn't change in that whole computation is that polluting primarily occurs in environmental justice communities, people of color communities. And so that's the thing that doesn't change in the equation, is that these corporations are still allowed to pollute and put people of color and low-income whites' health and lives in danger so that a profit can be made. And as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said long ago, that we must move from being a society that puts profit over people, and we need to move realistically and truthfully towards a society that puts people in nature over profit.
And Dan, the scenario you just spelled out sounds almost like a money laundering scheme, except that the carbon emissions don't actually get reduced. Like, it doesn't actually clean up the environment ultimately. Is that a cynical view of it, or is that realistic?
No, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And these concerns were brought to light in an article that was published in Bloomberg News back in 2020, I believe it was, with the Nature Conservancy's carbon offset projects that they're doing on forest land. You know, look, Alex, we brought these issues to the CEO of the Nature Conservancy. We had a 3.5-hour meeting with Jennifer Morris, who's the CEO and senior staff. And we talked to them about, you know, the 200 scientists that have signed a letter to Congress while they were promoting wood subsidies for expanding wood markets in the infrastructure bill, who urged members of Congress not to pass the infrastructure bill with those subsidies for wood production and wood markets because it would take us backwards in terms of our ability to solve the climate crisis. Leo spelled out very clearly in that meeting, from the pollution to the logging, the impacts that the expanding global market for wood pellets is having on environmental justice communities. And we asked TNC to change course. We asked TNC to get on side of nature, to get on side of environmental justice communities, to get on side with scientists, and to chart a better course for the future. And 6 weeks later, after a 3.5-hour meeting, Jennifer basically said that, thank you for the dialogue, and we have to agree to disagree. So we went out, and now we have 158 organizations that have signed on to a letter to her, again, asking TNC to help us solve this problem of protecting forests from industrial logging and wood production in the U.S., and asking her to publicly acknowledge what scientists and environmental justice communities know, which is that this industry is causing major damage to the climate, to biodiversity, and to our communities, and to get on side and work collaboratively with us to scale up the protection of forests at the scale needed at this moment in time to effectively address the ecological crisis that we're in right now.
So, Leo, what solutions do you see, and how can people take action?
Well, you know, the solution is to let our forests remain standing so that they can be our carbon sinks, so that they can be our protection, our natural defense against flooding, and also to realize that our forests are assets, particularly in low-income communities, where we can use our forests for hiking, for fishing, for hunting, for outdoor recreation, in a way so that we can generate revenue not only for landowners, but also for entire communities. So that's the solution. The solution should not be a market-based solution, but it should be a solution that is for people and for the planet.
Dana Smith and Leo Woodbury, thanks so much for being my guests on Sea Change Radio.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you, Alex.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Sanford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise.
Additional music by Wes Montgomery and the Dramatics.
Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.